Soy Victoria Waters, secretaria de prensa del Departamento Correccional de California.
I'm Vicky Waters, press secretary for the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. And this episode of Ear Hustle contains language and descriptions of graphic violence that may not be appropriate for all listeners. Discretion is advised.
Se aconseja discreción.
So, Erlon, I went to reception recently. It's the first time I've been there.
Reception?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been there since 1999.
Oh, thank God.
And trust me, it's a whole different world.
Oh, man, it really is. And, okay, so reception is where you go from county jail after you've been sentenced and before you've been assigned to the prison where you're going to start doing your time. Is that right?
Right, right. Everybody in the California prison system first passes through reception.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the place where...
Oh, my God. You guys must be terrified.
I mean,
Come on. You have
everybody from everywhere, like level one, level two, level three, level four.
Right.
You know, they segregate them later, but right in that, in, at reception, everybody is together.
It's chaos, right?
It's,
I mean, that was my feeling.
It's different. It's prison 101. This is the beginning of the orientation to the penal system.
Right. So if you've never been in before, your mind must be blown.
If you've never been in before, you're trying to go through all those stories you heard about this place in the county jail. Because people try to get you prepared in the county jail and tell you all these crazy stories that don't help.
Well, there is a reception center at San Quentin. And it's just one of the handful of reception centers in California. And at San Quentin, there's about 1,000 guys there at any given time waiting to be assigned to their actual prison.
Right. But they're not on the main line at the prison. They're not a part of that population. And when you do see these guys, they're under escort. Just like the guys on death row, the officers don't want you to look at them.
Right.
So you got to turn your back when reception center people walk
by. It's so weird when you see that, like, guys stop and turn and face the wall.
Yeah, that's the way they want it,
that's
you know.
Intense.
But, you know, I'm always going to look.
Well, you're
a
peeper.
That's what I do. I peeps. I'm a looker. And, you know, the cold part about reception is that you don't get out much.
Right.
You get a little yard time. You go to the dining hall twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you locked in a cell.
Mm, it's got to be tough. I was actually really nervous to go in there because I had heard all the rumors about how out of control reception can be, and I really didn't know what to expect. And yes, it was intense. So I want to play just a little bit of tape to give listeners an idea of what it's actually like at 10 o'clock at night in reception.
That's the shutdown routine in reception that happens every night.
Every night.
And you know, Nige, it's broke down by race in prison, you know this.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how it is in reception as well.
Okay.
And each race gets a chance to say goodnight to their brothers, their comrades, and all the other races.
Mm-hmm.
The ones you just heard are the Norteños.
The Northern Mexicans?
The Northern Mexicans.
Okay. And then when the shutdown routine is over, good night, all.
Crickets. That's what's up.
You're now tuned in to San Quentin's Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia. I'm Nigel Poor, a visual artist, now podcaster. I've been working with the guys at San Quentin State Prison in California for about 8 years.
And I'm Erlon Woods, a former resident of San Quentin.
I think that's worth saying twice.
A former resident of San Quentin.
Right on. And together, we're going to take you inside
and back outside post-incarceration.
Yes.
Hey there, Ear Hustle producer Rasan New York Thomas.
What's up, executive producer Bruce Wallace? I like giving Erlon and Nigel a break from the mic sometimes so the rest of us can take over.
I know. I hope we don't burn the building down.
Hopefully not.
But we are here to say thank you to listeners who have already donated to our fundraiser.
Yes, thank you. And since we're making folks listen to us, let's make this fun. Bruce, what's something that you wish listeners knew about making Ear Hustle?
Yeah, you know, one thing I think about a lot is that we get a huge volume of notes, messages coming in email and social media, snail mail. And unlike other shows where I've worked, we actually read and respond to almost everything we get. Not like the real mean stuff, but all, you know, most everything else. We give sort of like time and thought to, which I think is pretty special.
It is.
How about you? What's one thing you want our listeners to know about Ear Hustle?
I think how hard everyone works.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Like Nigel's really creative and she's always in the trenches trying to edit audio. Erline takes responsibility for sound design.
Yeah, all the sound design is him.
He's up late every Tuesday night trying to get this thing done for Wednesday morning. It's an amazing show. We're a small team, though, and we're like ants. We lift in 10 times our own weight.
Oh, I like that. Like ants. Okay. One thing the listeners probably already did know is that we rely on their support to keep making the show.
This year, we're trying to reach 1,000 supporters. Everyone who donates will be invited to our virtual party on June 13th.
And everyone who donates $10 a month or more will get access to Ear Hustle Plus, which is our new subscription service that has ad-free episodes and tons of cool bonus content that you, Rasan New York Thomas, are producing.
Yes, and every single gift will help us reach our goal and help us to keep making this show. Learn more and donate at earhustlesq.com.
And listeners, thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare.
All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Erlon, this is our first episode of season 4.
Right.
And a lot has changed for you, for me, and for Ear Hustle.
Sure has. Because at the end of 2018, about 7 months ago, my sentence of 31 years to life was commuted, and now I'm free.
Because of all the changes, we've been gone a while. And I really want to thank longtime listeners for hanging in there and give a super warm welcome to new listeners.
Indeed. This season is going to be different because I can't really get back into San Quentin. Not that I'm trying to. You understand that, Naj?
I do miss working with you inside, but here's the good thing.
Okay.
We are now professional colleagues on the outside. And speaking of that, I'm guessing some listeners would like to know what you've been up to.
I've been up to all kind of stuff.
Like what?
Like fighting to lose the weight that's been finding me. Somehow it's finding me, you know. I still get my eat on.
Well, beyond eating, we have been working hard on getting
season four ready.
Yep.
We've been working hella hard.
And here's how it's going to work. Ear Hustle is still a podcast out of San Quentin Prison, and we're still going to be telling stories about life behind bars. But I'm going to be working with a new co-host on the inside.
And you will hear from him later in this episode, but I got the flow right now.
And you're not going anywhere.
I'm
going
to be working on stories about men.
And women.
When they get out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people leaving prison in California these days,
yep.
And they have to find work, they got to find a place to live, they have to reconnect with their families, and they have to, you know, let's get it on.
Are you talking about
baby?
I was going to say, are you talking about dating, but it's pretty clear you are.
It's pretty clear, yes, yes.
So some episodes will be about life inside, some about life outside, and some a combo platter.
And since this is the first episode of the season, and so much has changed for us at Ear Hustle,
mm-hmm.
we thought it should be about transitions.
Exactly. And that's why this episode is about reception.
Right.
And guys at the San Quentin Reception Center, well, they could end up at San Quentin.
Or may not.
They could be shipped to any other prison in the state, right?
Right. You usually spend about 90 days in reception, and it's an experience that guys remember for the rest of their lives.
Do you have strong memories of it?
Hell yeah, because I spent 120 days in the reception center.
Oh, you got an extra month?
No. It worked out.
Why?
Because The first person that classified me with 60-something points, which made me a level 4.
Mm-hmm.
The second person that came back and reclassified me gave me 43 points.
Ooh, level 3.
Level 3. So I was level 3 for 2 years before they figured it out.
So after you got out, Earlonne, we went out to the yard and asked guys in the general population, what was reception like when they were there?
Reception is the place where everything filters through to the opening of the zoo.
You're given a little bag of powdered toothpaste, a little toothbrush, a cup, a spoon, and you'd be lucky if you get a couple envelopes and a bar of soap.
Hey, what color are you wearing reception?
Orange.
Bright orange. I seen it.
That shit looks stupid,
too. It looks stupid, like a pumpkin suit.
Be prepared for that 23-hour lockdown. That's what you need to be prepared for.
You get no personal belongings. You got no TV. You get no radio. Pretty much a 24-hour lockdown, stuck in a 6x9 cell. Reception ain't no fun.
It wasn't cool at all. I didn't like it. I had a celly with a shit bag. I was like, man, they really torturing me. I know I did wrong and all, but damn.
We wanted to hear more stories about reception, so we also brought guys down to the media center to hear from them.
It's my first time being locked up. And somebody was just really cool. A guy took a liking to me, and he just started telling me how jail works. He said, when you go inside, don't show no fear. Do not stay in your cell. Go in your cell, put your property down on your bed, and come right out and just go see who's on a tier and just make yourself known. If you go in your cell and hide, they're going to think you're scared. And they also told me, don't accept charity in prison. Don't let nobody give you a candy bar. Don't let nobody give you anything, because there's always strings attached.
Yeah, will you tell me that story? So what does it mean if someone leaves a candy bar on your bunk?
Oh, it's a setup.
What, do we explain that?
The theory is you're just coming to prison. You don't have any property.
Yeah.
If you eat the candy bar, then you owe them, and you have no way to pay with money. And so they expect you to pay with a sexual favor. Booty bandits, let's just call them what they are, booty bandits, guys that are in there trying to turn young, naive prisoners out and make them their prison property.
Mm. Yeah. So you knew that going in.
I was scared to death. That's like my worst nightmare, like to be raped or something like that. Worst nightmare.
That is the voice of Rahsaane Thomas, a.k.a. New York. And he's actually talking about reception in New York State, which is where he first went to prison.
And there's also something very special about this New York character.
Yes, there is.
We are proud to announce that New York is our new co-host for season 4.
Oh, yes.
Brooklyn's in the house. Indeed.
I am so glad to hear you celebrating him now, because during the job search, you put him through hell.
Well, shit, I had to look out for our listeners.
Hey, what about me? You had to make sure I was good hands.
You too. But I had to make sure we straight.
So this season on Ear Hustle, we're going to have 3 hosts. You and me when we're talking about life on the outside, and me in New York when we're doing stories inside. And we can't all be together because, obviously, you're not going back into San Quentin anytime soon.
Nah.
And New York can't come out. So, listeners are going to hear me magically toggle between you and New York.
Long-time listeners might remember New York from previous episodes because he's been in a few.
Yep.
The first time he was on was to talk about how he set a record when he ran the San Quentin Marathon for the first time.
It took me 6 hours, 15 minutes, 23 seconds. So I got the longest marathon time ever in San Quentin State Prison. I survived. I'm still alive. The lieutenant thought I couldn't do it. Truth thought I couldn't do it.
Hey, New York. You still out of breath?
I have to hear that tape. I am. But I'm ready. What's up, Naj?
Well, it's time for you and me to talk more about reception.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. There's another guy listeners are going to be hearing from this season. He's coming on as Ear Hustle producer.
John Yahya Johnson.
Yep. New guy number 2.
And like anybody who's ever been to a prison, he had to start in reception. And he remembers it quite well. In fact, it's staying on Yahya's brain.
When I first walked into the Carson Center, San Quentin's reception center in Carson, the first thing that I smelled was the stench of smoke. And it was pungent. It reminded me of a forest fire. And I thought, damn, is it a fire going on around here? Because it was just smoky. And but then the other thing I noticed was that people were going about like normal business. I walked to the cell where I was. I went in and made the formal introduction to the cellmate that I had. And that was the first thing I asked him. I'm like, why is there smoke coming out of individual cells? And he said that those were individuals who like to burn wicks. And I'm like, what is a wick? And he said it was a long piece of toilet paper that was rolled up into a tight rope and hung on the wall and burned so people can have access to light their cigarettes. And I said, okay, no wonder why the building is smoky. There's a ton of wicks being burned in the building. Another interesting thing was that I used to smell exotic foods. I'm like, where is this food smells coming from? I'm talking about Chinese food, Mexican food, different kinds of food. We're in reception. We don't have hot pots or anything. So where is this coming from? And so my cellie said, well, you have guys who have cafes. And so I was like, well, how are they making the food smell this good? It smells like diner food, greasy spoon food. And he said, oh, what they do is they take the cookie sheet on the bunk that we sleep on. And they scrape the paint off of it, and it's actual metal, like a grill, a real thin piece of metal. Then they take this firebomb.
Remind us what the firebomb is.
You take toilet paper or a sheet, and you wrap either or into a cone. And then take a can, and you sit the cone on top of the can, and it shoots a fire flame straight up like a Bunsen burner. And when you put it under the cookie sheet, yeah, it heats the cookie sheet on the bed into a grill. So these guys are doing chop suey, putting the rice from the canteen, the noodles, and the fish together with the peppers, and actually making cuisines to sell and to feed their homeboys.
Okay, that's impressive that you can actually take that sheet of metal on your bunk and turn it into this giant frying pan.
Or a gangster grill.
Gangster grill. Okay, so you can make this grill, and then you cook these snacks to share with your neighbors.
Yeah, guys in prisons are geniuses. And the guys that have been in reception for a while, they pass on their tricks to the new guys coming in.
Nice.
But most guys that come through reception, they don't remember it as a place of good food or good smells.
The cockroaches, the heat, the sweat, noisy, smoke everywhere. Couldn't sleep, couldn't rest. It was miserable. It was really miserable. So I remember.
That's David Ditto. Before coming to San Quentin, he was in reception at Chino State Prison, which is right outside of Los Angeles.
And when he was there in 2012, there were problems with the plumbing.
The toilets didn't work.
So what would you do if you had to go to the bathroom?
It got so bad I had to actually make a makeshift toilet in the middle of my cell in the morning when my cellie was asleep, and use it and wrap it up and put it out with the trash. Be careful where you throw it.
Be careful where you throw it. He wasn't kidding.
Not at all. And I have a serious story about that back from when I was in reception. And it happened when I was walking in a single file line with a group of guys on our way to chow. And we're all wearing the state green uniforms. And about maybe five guys in front of me, something comes over the tiers and splashes him right in the head. And it's feces. He gets shit all over his face and his head. And the craziest thing about it is nobody laughed at him. He didn't take it like no big deal. He just wiped it off as best he can. He looked up a little bit, and he just kept walking like nothing happened, straight to chow. And I was looking like, wow, like what the hell? But the craziest part was the next day, I went to chow again. And at the breakfast table, they were talking about how the guy who threw the shit was found stabbed to death in his cell. And that's when I realized, like, they are not playing. This is real. This is prison. This is no joke. And I can live or I can die here. And it made me even more hypervigilant, more scared, more worried.
Let's go back out to the yard.
I'm not gonna lie. It be going down up there. It was an alarm like six times a day, somebody getting got off on.
I just stepped into the arena, and I was 17 and a half, and they let me know that I was a damn child, you know. I wanted my motherfucking mama.
The first thing I heard when I walked right into reception, "New booty, come to the gate." I was like, oh, hell no, I'm going to get raped. I was terrified. And I went to the cell. They was like, bro, no, they're just messing with you. I was like, man, they sounded serious, man. It sounded serious. I wrote letters home to everybody. I cried a little bit, didn't want to admit it, but I did.
We'll be right back after this break.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
You sounding crystal clear today.
Thanks, E. You know, sometimes those allergies sneak up on me.
But not today. Did you change up your routine?
That I did. I now use Astapro every time my nasal allergies flare up.
That's great.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro, the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray.
Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today.
Astepro allergy.com.
Astapro and go.
Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. So we're talking about reception, the place where guys go when they first enter the prison system.
I think the thing that was most difficult for me to deal with in reception was the noise.
This is Lewis Brackett. He recently went through reception here at San Quentin.
They're just so loud. They're talking to this guy down here, and this guy over here, this guy up here, this guy over here. Like, hey, what's up, homie? Good morning. Hey, I sent mine, bro. Or I'll send mine right back. And da 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 da. And they're just doing that all day. And it was just driving crazy.
So right now, I see you have a watch on. How do you tell time in reception? Ain't no watches over there, right?
So, yeah, though, there's not.
Wait, what do you mean there's no time in reception? What do you, wait, explain that.
The time the judge gave you.
But what, yeah. Are you serious? There's no clocks there?
There's no clocks.
Intentionally?
There's a clock down by the desk, but that's it. No, you cannot see it from your cell.
So in reception here at San Quentin, you don't know what time it is, it's noisy, and you can't really see who's making all of that noise.
Yeah, what's crazy is that you can hear all these guys, but you can't see them. Yeah. So unless you know their voice, like, you don't know who they are.
It's insane.
It's really insane. And like, if somebody curses you out, you don't know if they're big or small, if you turn the fade down, if you take the fade, you don't know what to do. You don't know who just cursed you out. So you're like,
it might be better to just stay quiet in there.
I think that's my advice.
Last time I was in reception was February of 2000, this is 19, 18, 17.
Would Jeff Atkins is a professional musician.
Yeah, I lose track.
He's been in prison before, back in the 1990s. And this was his second time in reception?
Second, third, I'm not sure, Naj, but he's definitely what I'm going to call a returning resident.
Okay, so this is maybe his third time in prison?
At least.
I'm telling you, yeah, more than three times.
Lonnie just let us know it's more than three times. So what that tells me is he really knew what to expect.
Yep, and that was no TVs, no radios, and very limited phone calls.
Apart from reading, there's no entertainment, except what guys can come up with themselves.
Yeah, reception's a whole lot of boring.
It sure sounds like that.
Oh, heck yeah. But Jeff says the last time he was there, there was something going on every night.
Anywhere from after chow, which is usually around 6:37, or after the evening meal, they kick it off. You know, some guy will start rapping, or they'll have a comedy, you know, show. They'll do skits. You know, they'll do commercials.
These niggas always saying free meat, like peace out. In there for y'all again. These niggas armed me.
And people actually pay attention. It's not all chaotic and crazy.
It is crazy. While this is going on, there's deals being made. You know, I got a shot of coffee for two stamped envelopes. Where are you at? You know, you'll have the cell number, and you know, the runner will come and deliver your product.
Hold up, I got some. Just be patient with me. Y'all got it. The door's got it. My bro's gonna make it with me.
So New York, This is what they call Showtime at the Apollo.
Yep. So the thing about reception, it's not really a nice place, mm-hmm. but guys make the best of it. And Showtime got to be like the absolute best thing about it. Guys with musical talent can shine. Comedians can tell their jokes. It's like a freaking variety show.
But remember, you can't see who's performing.
Oh, yeah. You can't see anything.
And Jeff took advantage of that relative anonymity.
So when I first got there, I figured I'd play a little trick, right? I did a Randy Travis song, right? And Randy Travis, of course, is a white country and western singer, right? And,
how did the song go?
And they're politicking, you know, they're doing the prison politics in there, you know, the whites hang with the whites, the blacks hang with the blacks, you know. So I came out with this, oh baby, I'm gonna love you forever. And I really put the twang in. And forever and ever, amen. And so all the white guys, yeah, brother, sing, brother. And I just keep going. I get to the chorus. I'm going to love you forever and ever and forever and ever, amen. And so they'd be like, yeah, brother, yeah. Sing another one, brother. Where are you at, brother? I'm going to send you some coffee, brother. Do you need anything else down there? I'm like, no, I'm cool, bro. I'm cool. All right. So I do that. I think I did another couple more country songs. I did Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. I love them.
Oh,
it was Baby, when I met you, there was peace unknown. And I set out to get you with a fine tooth comb. I was soft inside. So we'll just get to the islands in the stream. That is what we are. And so when I'll tell you, white people are much more appreciative than black folks when it comes to showing their appreciation.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the white guys were like, yee-haw! Yeah, brother! Yeah, it was like a standing ovation, a thunderous game, beating on the walls. And, brother! They were pumped. I mean, so I knew I had them, right? So I did, I did Michael Jackson, you know, early Michael Jackson, Who's Loving You? You know, right
how
after
go,
doing
go.
When I had you. So, you know, it was who's loving you? And they were confused now. They're like, wait a minute, brother. What nationality are you, brother?
The white Jews were yelling at that?
Yes. Right. But before I could, I wanted to say, I'm a right. So when I told them what I was, right, they were like, oh, all right, brother, as long as we know. And then now they're mad at my neighbors. They're like, hey, Ronnie, you were next to this dude, bro, and you didn't tell us anything? You know, I'm like, what is this position to? But anyway, yeah.
Did they ever give you anything? Like, they send you?
They offered, absolutely.
Before they found out?
When
they thought you were
away? And even after, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I'm telling you, music is so universal that it was just fun and games to me.
Most nights around 10 o'clock, the shutdown begins. And this is when the crazy, noisy day in reception comes to an end with a very specific ritual. And we heard some of that at the top of the podcast.
That's the Usos, the Samoan cats, doing their shutdown. Here's Lewis Brackett again, remembering what it was like to lead the shutdown.
I would grab the bars and, like, scream at the top of my lungs, you know. Excuse me on the tier! Excuse me on the tier! Just getting that out and really being that one voice that everybody is listening to at that one time every night.
First time I heard the shutdown, I loved it.
This is Talib Brooks, who was in San Quentin's reception in the early 90s.
I love the unity. I love the respect. I love the structure. I really appreciated that. I was like, man, I don't believe I'm hearing this. They're really having a respectful ending to the night. Wow. I mean, you could hear a pin drop. That's beautiful. That's eerie. That's power.
Yeah. So after the shutdown, what happens if, and everyone respects it? Do the COs respect it?
Absolutely. They respected it.
Wow. And what happens if someone doesn't?
They get dealt with. Their own race will have to check them. No, blacks can't check a white or vice versa. You know, like, hey, man, your folks was chalking last night. Don't worry, we got it. And he get boop, bop, bop, boop, have an accident. Next thing you know, he got ooh-ah knots, and he learned a lesson, you know, sugar lumps.
Hey, E.
What up, Nige?
From what we've heard, it sounds like reception is, ugh, boring, smelly, dangerous, a place where you get sugar lumps, which sounds so freaking innocent, but clearly, they are not.
They're not. They're not. Sugar lumps is those things you see on cartoons when they get hit on the head and they just swell.
Oh, God. So I'm sure you get sugar lumps and probably far worse.
Yep. I'll say this. Mm-hmm. It's not a place anyone wants to spend very long in.
Oh, God, no.
90 days is more than enough. More than enough, for real.
Well, and do you think that reception actually prepares you for what lays ahead? I mean, most guys are on their way to serving some serious friggin' time.
Yeah, I mean, it helps you with the prison politics. To be able to understand what is acceptable in prison.
Okay, okay.
What is not acceptable. What put you on the front line or what'll get you hurt.
So it is like prison with training wheels?
Prison 101. But there's probably no way to prepare a person for spending decades behind the bars.
How could there be?
I mean, that is crazy. It's tough. It's definitely a transition going to prison. Mm. So, and you know what?
What?
Unless you're in there for life,
yeah,
you're eventually going to go through another huge transition.
Getting out.
Getting out.
Yep.
It's the transition that pretty much everyone in prison is dreaming about.
Mm-hmm.
But when it finally happens to you, it's not easy.
Was it easier for you, do you think?
I had a smooth transition. I had a kickback transition.
Yeah.
You know, I got out. I had a job.
Yep.
I had a place to live. Money in my pocket.
Well, everyone gets out with some money.
You're talking about gay money? Nice.
Yep.
When you get out of California State Prison,
yeah,
you get a grand total.
Mm.
On a plastic card,
yeah,
of $200, the
God.
Same amount you got in 1973 when you back then you could have bought a house, a car, something.
Oh my God! Okay, we are laughing about it, but seriously, that is not going to take you very far. You know, 50 years later,
it won't. No. I mean, it's not going to be much help in 2019, but it is money.
And how you spend it does tell us something about who you are. So we asked New York and Yaya to go out to the yard and ask guys what they would do with that $200 if they got out.
What do you plan on doing with that $200 gate money that they give you when you parole?
I plan on sending my cellie a package because my cellie don't have nobody.
Give me a steak dinner. Give me a nice lemonade or something like that to drink.
What could you get in Mexico with $200?
Man, you can get all your clothes and shoes, and then you can eat to the restaurant. $200 is a lot of money with it.
Yeah, I'm going to get the soap, I'm going to get the deodorant, I'm going to get the boxes, the T-shirts, you know, and then at the end of that, you know, I'm going to give me a nice bottle of red wine, you know, some smoke.
One night at a motel, and bus transportation to the welfare department to give me some type of assistance.
Go to the nearest store and buy me some bubble gum. I haven't had bubble gum in 17 and a half years, and I like bubble gum.
They're not so far from the mark. I went around and asked people who recently got out of prison what they actually did with that $200.
So what'd you do with that $200 gate money?
What'd I do with that $200?
I used the $200 correctly. I mean, I didn't spend any money on drugs.
I think the first thing I bought was pistachios.
When I got out, my money was on plastic cards. I didn't know how to use it. So I kept it for a while, and then someone told me it was money on there. I didn't know.
I went and bought a phone and was trying to call my partner because I didn't know where the hell I was at. Didn't know how to use Uber or Lyft. So I was just walking around San Francisco, just going in liquor stores, just buying, you know, juice and potato chips, and went into this little restaurant, ate some shrimp scampi.
And my first thing that I bought was some French fries at Burger King, I think it was.
I bought me some oats,
some real oats and barley, you know, cereal.
With my $200, I turned around and gave it back to my friend in prison. And I put it on her books. That's what I did with my $200.
And some real bread and some Tropicana orange juice, 100%.
First thing I did is I came home and I bought things that I needed personally for as female-wise. So
first of all, man, what you gonna do with 200 bucks out here nowadays, right?
This is Ali.
And he's,
man,
quite a talker.
He had a lot to say about his $200.
When I first got out, the first thing, my family met me at the gate, we drove to Starbucks, right? And I ain't had real coffee for a long, long time. I mean, years, right? You know, we was dealing with penitentiary coffee. So we go up there and I get this Americana. I drank it and, man, it was good. You know what I mean? I was like, ooh. Now, this is the first thing I tasted after being incarcerated for 12 years, 4 months, 21 days, and I ain't figured out the hours. So we start driving, right? And the coffee kicks in. Bro, I can't talk. I got like lockjaw. I ain't had that much caffeine in a long, long, long time. So I get home, man, and I just got this energy, right? I'm like getting my bed ready. I'm like happy. I'm like, man, getting all my stuff done. I'm like, man, that coffee's kind of cool. So, bro, I'm going to tell you, man, I spent my $200 worth of gate money at Starbucks.
Thanks to everyone who spoke with us about their time in reception. John Yahya Johnson, Charles Talib Brooks, David Ditto, Lewis Brackett, and Jeffrey Atkins.
Ear Hustle is produced by me, Earline Woods, Nigel Poor, John Yahya Johnson, Rasan New York Thomas.
With help from our producer, Pat Macedi Miller, who also comes in to work with our sound design team. This episode was scored with music by Antoine Williams and David Jassy.
Curtis Fox is our senior producer. Bruce Wallace produces Outside Stories with Earline.
Julie Shapiro is our executive producer for Radiotopia. Woo woo! We want to thank Warden Ron Davis. And as you know, even though Ear Hustle is now doing stories outside of prison, the material from inside San Quentin has to be approved by this guy here.
What did you think of the first episode?
I thought it was really, really interesting to have Earline introduce Rasan as the new inside piece. And I'm excited to see how the rest of the season plays out.
So now I need to know, man, do you approve of this episode?
I am Lieutenant Sam Robinson, the public information officer at San Quentin State Prison, and I do approve this episode. Yay!
What do you think of his laugh?
Either that's going to irritate everybody, or are they going to really love it? So I think it's no middle ground with it. It's going to be, yeah, we're all in with the laugh, we love it, or, oh man, this guy, please stop laughing, please.
Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collection of the best podcasts around. Hear more at radiotopia.fm.
This podcast was made possible with support from the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, working to redesign the justice system by building power and opportunity for communities impacted by incarceration.
Check out our updated website, earhustlesq.com. And thanks to Aaron Wade, our digital producer, for all the hard work she put into that. And when you're there, you can sign up for our newsletter, see pictures of people in our stories, and if you want to spend a little bit, you can buy an Ear Hustle t-shirt or one of our mugs.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Ear Hustle SQ. I'm Earline Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor.
And I'm Rasan New York Thomas. Thanks for listening.
Let's hear a little bit. I've never heard you sing, man.
Come and talk to me. Oh. I really want to meet you, girl. I really want to know your name.
You did good until the last part. Don't hit that high note.
It's Earline.
And Nigel.
Here again, reminding you to donate to our spring fundraiser today so we can keep bringing you more Ear Hustle.
Everyone who donates will be invited to our virtual party on June 13th. If you've never been, it's a fun time where we talk about the season and answer some of your questions live. Uncensored, live.
And I will be on a hologram so y'all can see me.
3DE.
On Zoom. Every donation, any amount, will help us reach our goal. So please go to earhustlesq.com to learn more and
please contribute.
Thank you.
If you can find it in your heart, in your pocket, in your wallet, in the couch.